Leviticus chapter 1. The Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be a male with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle, so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. The priests will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the flock, it may be either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a male with no defects. Slaughter the animal on the north side of the altar in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will splatter the blood against all sides of the altar. Then cut the animal into pieces, and the priests will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and the fat, on the wood burning of the altar. But the internal organs and legs must first be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If you present a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. But first he must drain its blood against the side of the altar. The priest must also remove the feathers, the crop and the feathers, and throw them in the ashes on the east side of the altar. Then, grasping the bird by its wings, the priest will tear the bird open, but without tearing it apart. Then he will burn it as a burnt offering on the wood. Burning on the altar, it is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Leviticus 6:8-23. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the burnt offering. The burnt offering must be left on top of the altar until the next morning, and the fire on the altar must be kept burning all night. In the morning, after the priest on duty has put on his official linen clothing and linen undergarments, he must clean out the ashes of the burnt offering and put them aside the altar. Then he must take off these garments, change back into his regular clothes, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out."
Thank you for your word and for the opportunity to read and learn from these things. You've preserved these teachings, these writings. You preserved for us for thousands of years. Your people have been coming back to learn from and to gain insight and wisdom, and be brought near to you, and enjoy communion with you in your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be here filling us. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher this morning, and that we would learn something from your word, and that it would guide us to love and serve one another this week. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We have a hunting community, and we're in a farming community, so the slaughter of animals is not probably queasy information for most of you. But I am a city guy. A dude, is that the word? City slicker, right? And this stuff is weird to me, right? And I think for a lot of people, all the butchering up and the cutting up of the animals, I think it's important to remember that this is the true story of the way people lived 3,000 years ago. This was totally normal. Everybody in ancient Mesopotamia would have been practicing rituals similar to this. When God wanted to teach his children, the children of Israel, lessons, he chose to use these ritual sacrifices, and it would have been understandable and immediate for the people, the children of Israel, to grasp and understand these concepts, because all the other city states around them were practicing very similar things. Now, who celebrates Christmas? You can show of hands. Most everybody, okay. I was raised around some people that they wouldn't do the Christmas thing. Okay. Matter of fact, my parents, they didn't do it for the first several years of our family, and some elderly ladies in the church found out about it, and they were like, no, no. And so then they started just sending us gifts, and after a while, my parents just had to cave, and we started doing it. But they would never get a tree. My dad never got a Christmas tree. Who does a Christmas tree? Right? Yeah, exactly. Beautiful, fun, enjoyable time. We do Christmas trees. My parents didn't do a Christmas tree. What my older sister told me later on, when I was an adult, is there was a... Some of you know that the Christmas tree has its origin in pagan mother goddess worship, right? And that was the excuse for why we didn't have a Christmas tree, didn't decorate it, and all the rest. But what my second oldest sister told me later on, is she just said, no, 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 you don't understand. Your dad just couldn't be bothered. Because I thought, yeah, if you could get a religious reason to not do the Christmas tree, that's pretty good, because it's a lot of work, right? The pine needles everywhere, and then the water and the light. I mean, it gets really, really, and then if you have the plastic one, then you got to keep it somewhere, right? Well, okay. Christmas trees. A lot of us have Christmas trees. We have appropriated that ritual from paganism, and we're Christians, and we still have that Christmas tree, right? But instead, we put an angel at the top, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? There are similar things happening in the book of Leviticus, right? There are these pagan rituals of animal sacrifice that are happening in the cultures around, and God says to his people, we're going to do animal sacrifice, but it's going to mean something entirely different. And we're going to do it entirely differently. And we'll look at some of these things. I'm telling you what, studying this book, guys, has been so exciting. And I know this is what a lot of the commentators kept saying that I was listening to. They said, Leviticus is the book in the Bible in which, when people are doing their read through the Bible in a year, it's the book in which people stop reading. Okay. Yeah.
It's got what one commentator said is Leviticus has a bad, oh rats, what was the name for it? Publicity. A bad, it suffers from bad publicity, right? It doesn't have a good advertising firm behind it. Another commentator said, if you track, they'll do these Bible commentaries in which they'll do a whole Bible commentary and a different author will do each book of the Bible. And they get released systematically, right? And they'll say, the first books to get released are Genesis and Romans and John and Ephesians. And the last book to get done is going to be Leviticus. Okay, it gets forgotten, and we know a couple different things out of it. Some of the stuff about the offerings, maybe some of the stuff about some of the ceremonies, but lots of times we've got the wrong idea about what those things are even about. A big topic in the ceremonies. I was going to mention this. It's a surprise. But it goes along with Leviticus. Great. We had spring break this week, so I spent the week in Grand Rapids. I didn't drive out to Freeport to the office, and I cleared the lawn of all the weeds and the vines. And I did some chainsawing and whatnot. And the second day, it was too hot. It wasn't too hot. I should have just worn my long sleeve shirt. But I took off a long sleeve shirt. And I got my arms scratched up. And the first day I noticed it. But the second day I started to see some blisters. And I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. You can't see it. But if I pulled up my shirt, you'd see they're covered in blisters and red sores and scratches. Because I have a very bad poison ivy rash. And I am unclean. I'm unclean. And if it was in ancient Israel, I would not be able to serve here, right? In the church, I would be kept out because I'm unclean. And I would need some of these ritual sacrifices. Okay, so I was talking to Mike about this. When it comes to this stuff, I don't mind using some biohazardous things on my skin, okay? So I did. I am completely non-contagious, right? But I'm pretty sure I dealt with everything. Dawn dish soap does it a pretty good job too, but then I went up a notch and put some other stuff on there that really... Shaving cream. I didn't know that one, and I looked up some different things. They didn't say shaving cream, but I'm also, you know, I have the thing that's unclean, but I'm also have a covering, right? A covering over my arms. That's the word atonement means a covering. So we will go through this passage here. Then the Lord summoned Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you bring an offering to the Lord from the livestock, you may bring your offering from the herd or the flock." So I'm gonna do a physical illustration of this. It says when you bring an offering, and what the Scripture's saying in Hebrew is when you bring near a bring near thing. That's what it's saying. If when you bring near a bring near thing, that's what an offering is. It's a bring near thing. Carl, the pastor emeritus from the Gathering Place, our the planter of our lovely congregation. He told me a story about when he was pastoring in Kansas. And there was an elderly indigenous lady in the congregation. And there was a very, very, very wealthy guy as well. And the elderly lady came to Carl and she said, "Have you been bought and paid for?" And he said, no, I haven't been bought and paid for. What she was trying to find out was, had Carl been purchased by this wealthy guy to say what he wanted Carl to say? Right? Was he owned, basically? And Carl would always share a passage with me from Proverbs, he would say, or he always does say, he brings this up frequently. He says, a man's gift will make room for him. It's a proverb. And what it means is someone will bring a gift and it'll create a space for them, right? But it can also turn into a bribe where someone is, and that's the danger that Carl warns me about. Don't get bribed, basically. But people will bring a gift, and we invite friends over, or we go over to friends' houses. This week, we went over to a friend's house, and they came over to our house. When they came over to our house, we said, bring collard greens, and bring green beans, and bring cornbread muffins. And when we went over to their house, they said, bring potato chips. That was a good trade, right? That was a really good trade. But we were able to be brought near. Our gift, we brought a gift, and then we were in their presence, and we enjoyed the gift. We ate the gift together. We all had it and enjoyed it. Okay? These offerings are bring near things. So, man, there's so much, and I'm rambling before I even set up the book of Leviticus, where it is in the Pentateuch and all that other stuff. We'll get to it. We'll talk about it, because I'm already on to the bring near things, so we'll just go with that. The bring near things. You have the Garden of Eden. We bring this up often, right? The Garden of Eden was perfection. It was paradise. And what happened with Adam and Eve is they sinned and they were kicked out. And when they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, there was an angel.
Leviticus chapter 1. The Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be a male with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the altar. Leviticus chapter 1. The Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be a male with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must fire first be washed with water, the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the flock, it may be either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a male with no defects. Slaughter the animal on the north side of the altar in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will splatter the blood against all sides of the altar. Then cut the animal into pieces, and the priest will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and the fat, on the wood burning of the altar, on the altar. But the internal organs and legs must first be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If you present a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. But first he must drain its blood against the side of the altar. The priest must also remove the feathers, the crop and the feathers, and throw them in the ashes on the east side of the altar. Then, grasping the bird by its wings, the priest will tear the bird open, but without tearing it apart. Then he will burn it as a burnt offering on the wood. Burning on the altar, it is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Leviticus 6, 8 through 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the burnt offering. The burnt offering must be left on top of the altar until the next morning, and the fire on the altar must be kept burning all night. In the morning, after the priest on duty has put on his official linen clothing and linen undergarments, he must clean out the ashes of the burnt offering and put them aside the altar. Then he must take off these garments, change back into his regular clothes, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out."
Thank you for your word and for the opportunity to read and learn from these things. You've preserved these teachings, these writings. You preserved for us for thousands of years. Your people have been coming back to learn from and to gain insight and wisdom, and be brought near to you and enjoy communion with you in your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be here filling us. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher this morning, and that we would learn something from your word, that it would guide us to love and serve one another this week. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We have a hunting community, and we're in a farming community, so the slaughter of animals is not probably queasy information for most of you. But I am a city guy. A dude, is that the word? City slicker, right? And this stuff is weird to me, right? And I think for a lot of people, all the butchering up and the cutting up of the animals, I think it's important to remember that this is the true story
of the way people lived 3,000 years ago. This was totally normal. Everybody in ancient Mesopotamia would have been practicing rituals similar to this. When God wanted to teach his children, the children of Israel, lessons, he chose to use these ritual sacrifices, and it would have been understandable and immediate for the people, the children of Israel, to grasp and understand these concepts. Because all the other city-states around them were practicing very similar things. Now, who celebrates Christmas? You can show of hands. Most everybody, okay. I was raised around some people that they wouldn't do the Christmas thing. Okay. Matter of fact, my parents, they didn't do it for the first several years of our family, and some elderly ladies in the church found out about it, and they were like, no, no. And so then they started just sending us gifts, and after a while, my parents just had to cave, and we started doing it. But they would never get a tree. My dad never got a Christmas tree. Who does a Christmas tree? Right? Yeah, exactly. Beautiful, fun, enjoyable time. We do Christmas trees. My parents didn't do a Christmas tree. What my older sister told me later on, when I was an adult, is there was a... Some of you know that the Christmas tree has its origin in pagan mother goddess worship, right? And that was the excuse for why we didn't have a Christmas tree, didn't decorate it, and all the rest. But what my second oldest sister told me later on, she just said, no, 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 you don't understand. Your dad just couldn't be bothered. Because I thought, yeah, if you could get a religious reason to not do the Christmas tree, that's pretty good, because it's a lot of work, right? The pine needles everywhere, and then the water and the light. I mean, it gets really, and then if you have the plastic one, then you got to keep it somewhere, right? Well, okay. Christmas trees. A lot of us have Christmas trees. We have appropriated that ritual from paganism, and we're Christians, and we still have that Christmas tree, right? But instead, we put an angel at the top, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? There are similar things happening in the book of Leviticus, right? There are these pagan rituals of animal sacrifice that are happening in the cultures around, and God says to his people, we're going to do animal sacrifice, but it's going to mean something entirely different. And we're going to do it entirely differently. And we'll look at some of these things. I'm telling you what, studying this book, guys, has been so exciting. And I know this is what a lot of the commentators kept saying that I was listening to. They said, Leviticus is the book in the Bible in which, when people are doing their read through the Bible in a year, it's the book in which people stop reading. Okay, yeah. It's got what one commentator said is Leviticus has a bad, oh rats, what was the name for it? Publicity, a bad, it suffers from bad publicity, right? It doesn't have a good advertising firm behind it. Another commentator said, if you track, they'll do these Bible commentaries in which they'll do a whole Bible commentary and a different author will do each book of the Bible. And they get released systematically, right? And they'll say, the first books to get released are Genesis and Romans and John and Ephesians. And the last book to get done is going to be Leviticus. Okay, it gets forgotten. And we know a couple different things out of it. Some of the stuff about the offerings, maybe some of the stuff about some of the ceremonies. But lots of times, we've got the wrong idea about what those things are even about. A big topic in the ceremonies, I was going to mention this. It's a surprise, but it goes along with Leviticus. Great. We had spring break this week, so I spent the week in Grand Rapids. I didn't drive out to Freeport to the office, and I cleared the lawn of all the weeds and the vines, and I did some chainsawing and whatnot. And the second day, it was too hot. It wasn't too hot. I should have just worn my long sleeve shirt, but I took off a long sleeve shirt. And I got my arms scratched up. And the first day I noticed it, but the second day I started to see some blisters. And I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. You can't see it, but if I pulled up my shirt, you'd see they're covered in blisters and red sores and scratches because I have a very bad poison ivy rash. And I am unclean. I'm unclean. And if it was in ancient Israel, I would not be able to serve here, right? In the church, I would be kept out because I'm unclean. And I would need some of these ritual sacrifices. I was talking to Mike about this. When it comes to this stuff, I don't mind using some biohazardous things on my skin, okay? So I did. I am completely non-contagious, right? But I'm pretty sure I dealt with everything. Dawn dish soap does it pretty good job too, but then I went up a notch and put some other stuff on there that really... Shaving cream. I didn't know that one. And I looked up some different things. They didn't say shaving cream. But I'm also, you know, I have the thing that's unclean, but I'm also have a covering, right? A covering over my arms. That's the word atonement means a covering. So we will go through this passage here. Then the Lord summoned Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you bring an offering to the Lord from the livestock, you may bring your offering from the herd or the flock. So I'm gonna do a physical illustration of this. It says when you bring an offering, and what the scripture's saying in Hebrew is when you bring near a bring near thing. That's what it's saying. If when you bring near a bring near thing, that's what an offering is. It's a bring near thing. Carl, the pastor emeritus from the Gathering Place, our the planter of our lovely congregation, he told me a story about when he was pastoring in Kansas. And there was an elderly indigenous lady in the congregation, and there was a very, very, very wealthy guy as well. And the elderly lady came to Carl and she said, "Have you been bought and paid for?" And he said, "No, I haven't been bought and paid for." And what she was trying to find out was, had Carl been purchased by this wealthy guy to say what he wanted Carl to say? Right? Was he owned, basically? And Carl would always share a passage with me from Proverbs, he would say, or he always does say, he brings this up frequently. He says, a man's gift will make room for him. It's a proverb. And what it means is someone will bring a gift and it'll create a space for them, right? But it can also turn into a bribe where someone is, and that's the danger that Carl warns me about. Don't get bribed, basically. But people will bring a gift, and we invite friends over, or we go over to friends' houses. This week, we went over to a friend's house, and they came over to our house. When they came over to our house, we said, bring collard greens, and bring green beans, and bring cornbread muffins. And when we went over to their house, they said, bring potato chips. That was a good trade, right? That was a really good trade. But we were able to be brought near. Our gift, we brought a gift, and then we were in their presence, and we enjoyed the gift. We ate the gift together. We all had it and enjoyed it. Okay? These offerings are bring near things. So, man, there's so much, and I'm rambling before I even set up the book of Leviticus, where it is in the Pentateuch and all that other stuff. We'll get to it. We'll talk about it, because I'm already on to the bring near things, so we'll just go with that. The bring near things. You have the Garden of Eden. We bring this up often, right? The Garden of Eden was perfection. It was paradise. And what happened with Adam and Eve is they sinned, and they were kicked out. And when they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, there was an angel placed at the entrance with a sword, fiery sword, basically saying, you're not going to come in unless you're dead, right? But we also all often talk about here at the gathering place about how God longs to be with his people. God wants to be with his people. He wants to be among us. Clara, could you do the first slide picture? There it is. There's a picture of it. Okay. So this is the courtyard and the tabernacle. And all of this is from... So I got my pictures out of the ESV Study Bible. But these... the text for the setup of this is from Exodus. The book of Exodus. Okay. So what you have... Okay. I will do a rundown of the book of Genesis, of the Pentateuch. So you got Genesis, introduction. Deuteronomy, conclusion. These five books of the Pentateuch. Then you have Exodus. That's a setup of the tabernacle. And Numbers has to do a lot of the dealings between Exodus and Numbers is the children of Israel in their wanderings in the wilderness. And Leviticus is right in the middle of the three books. And this is how the Hebrew writing structure would often be. And it is this way in the Pentateuch. Leviticus is in the middle of the Pentateuch. And it has the main point hidden in the center of the book of Leviticus. And this is how these authors would do it. They'd do three sections, and then they'd do three sections of three. So you've got Exodus and Numbers. And Leviticus, you got the three sections. And then within Leviticus, you have three sections, the middle and the front and the end. And so we're doing the front end, and then we're going to do the back end in the last weeks. And then right hidden in the middle of Leviticus is kind of like the main point of the book, but also the main point of all of the Pentateuch. And this is the point. The point is God wants to be among his people. He wants to dwell among us. But what do all five of these books point out over and over again? Is that we are unfit to be in the presence of a holy God. We don't deserve to have him among us. What you see in Genesis is this beautiful, perfect garden. All of the conditions are optimal. Everything is right. And Adam and Eve choose to turn away from God and choose to disobey him, right? And that was when the conditions were perfect. That was when everything was going their way. And we see conditions are never perfect, right? And we are sinful, and we, you know, you never have enough sleep, right? You never got the right diet down. None of us drink enough water. Okay, that's right. Peter does, right? The conditions are not perfect, and we continue to sin, right? And so God sets up his tabernacle, and it is a picture. You want to show the next one? It is a picture of Eden. Now, it's not Eden, but it resembles it in so many ways. You'd have, you know, the veils would look like starry hosts, right? You'd even have the cherubim, the angels, guarding the holiest of holies, just like how the angel is guarding the Garden of Eden. And if you go into the holiest of holies, you die. And so the idea is, and God's presence was in the holiest of holies. Now, in Eden, it says in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that Adam and Eve, they would walk with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, right? They were enjoying God's presence. And what God tells his people, we get this at the end of the book of Leviticus, is that, look, why do you want God's presence? Why do you want to be around God? Well, God tells his people, the children of Israel, look, I'm going to feed you every day. Man is going to come down out of heaven. You're going to win when you fight your enemies. When people try to attack you or hurt you, it'll take one guy, will chase away five people, right? So you'll be safe. You'll plant crops, and you just get a bumper crop every single year. My favorite law is the Sabbath. That's a cool one, right? Take a day off work and rest, right? And so God was telling his people, you know, in my presence, when you have my presence, you've got a lot of great things going for you. Interestingly, on that Sabbath note, as it turns out, in the New Testament era, the Romans, they thought of the Jewish people as lazy because they would take that day off work. Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. So they had a reputation of taking this day off, and the Romans didn't like it. They wanted them to work, 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 work. You think about our society in America, the United States, most businesses have a coffee budget. They buy caffeine, which is a drug. It's a stimulant that makes you work better, where you should work harder. They buy it for you. Think about this. Most employers are buying drugs for their employees, right? Okay. Yes. And then they will pay the workers to stop working and take the drugs. Right? But productivity, they want it in American workplaces. Work, 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 right? But in the scriptures, they were taking this day off. So that's why you want God's presence. But here's the thing. Scripture tells us that God's presence is dangerous because he's holy. He is dangerous to us. It would be like the sun, right? If you get too close to the sun, you will burn up. And actually, it's like you don't have to be like that close. It is very, very, very dangerous. But the sun is good, right? We enjoy the benefits of the sun. We want the sun. But like when you, even just being outside, I did not only get a rash on my arms, I also got sunburn, right?